Around the world, anti-war protesters took to the streets yesterday to mark the first anniversary of the war in Iraq. In Spain, protesters still grieving from coordinated bombings 10 days ago held mournful marches in cities around the country. And Prime Minister-elect José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero said in an interview today that it is virtually certain Spanish troops will be brought home from Iraq. From Washington, President Bush used his weekly radio address to reiterate calls for continued support for the U.S.-led occupation of Iraq.
Helping Iraq emerge as a free nation is a global responsibility, and the nations of the world are meeting their responsibilities.
But around the United States, demonstrators marched by the thousands to call for an end to the American presence in Iraq. Protesters in New York City also called out for an end to Mr. Bush's presidency.
Big slip! George Bush! Big slip!
George Bush!
Big slip!
George Bush!
In Iraq this weekend, American forces again suffered casualties in rebel attacks. In three different engagements, at least five troops died Saturday. Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He studies the U.S. military. He's in the studio this morning. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Leanne.
The occupation has been long, it's been hard, and it promises to be longer still. How has the United States been adjusting to that?
Well, we've adjusted a lot. For one thing, we've admitted two or three big mistakes in the way we've occupied Iraq. For example, now we are discarding this plan for elections and trying to come up with a new framework. We're trying to get the United Nations to do a lot more of the presiding over many of the processes inside of Iraq. At the military level, we're doing everything from calling up more reservists, using emergency powers to add temporarily some people to the active force, and then, of course, learning all the tactical lessons of how do you deal with this kind of an insurgency, the kind of thing we didn't necessarily expect to do again in the aftermath of Vietnam, at least not at this scale.
Let's talk about that. Large-scale changes of the Guard are taking place. Thousands of American troops are being brought home in Iraq, from Iraq. They're being replaced by thousands of unseasoned troops. Do you expect the new troops to be able to quickly benefit from the lessons that their predecessors learned?
I think so, but the good news is some of the people who are going back have already been there. For example, the 1st Marine Division, they're in one of the toughest spots west of Baghdad. Also, we've got a fair amount of continuity in some of the leadership, General Abizay, General Sanchez, at least for a while. They'll be turned over there as well at some point. And, of course, we have a lot of people spending 4 to 8 weeks in country from the previous rotation, helping people with the new rotation learn the lessons. Having said all that, this is hard, and doing counterinsurgency well takes practice. We learned in Vietnam that we didn't really, the old cliche is we didn't fight the Vietnam War for 9 years. We fought it for 1 year nine times because we kept rotating people in. It doesn't tend to necessarily work when you've got to build up human intelligence networks, contacts, people who trust you among the population you're working with. So it's going to be a big challenge, no doubt about it.
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld came into office 3 years ago with an agenda to make the military smaller, lighter, and more agile. And the uniformed services didn't welcome that idea with a lot of enthusiasm. Have his ideas been shelved, or are they still being debated?
They've been shelved for a while because Rumsfeld was mostly targeting the ground forces in particular. It's true that he wanted to think about new ways of fighting, high technology, long-range strike, etc. But what he really wanted to do was cut two divisions from the Army. At least that's the way the initial betting was going back in the spring and summer of 2001, before 9/11, before his first review was published. That would have been a terrible idea, especially given what's happened since. We need more ground troops simply because of the huge strain this Iraq mission is going to place upon them. Whether we need more troops in Iraq or not at any given moment, we need a bigger rotation base to sustain this big mission and the one in Afghanistan, ongoing efforts in Korea and the Balkans for many years, because it's going to take the rest of this decade to get this problem right.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanne.